This is Banging on the Drum. It is another beautiful day in West Central Wisconsin, and welcome into episode 156 of Banging on the Drum. Please go out there, like, subscribe, download, share, tell your buddies about us, how good we are, and we would greatly appreciate it. But as always, I'm your host, P-Dog, joined alongside our other host, M-Dog. And how are you doing today, M-Dog?
Couldn't be better. Could not be better. That's probably not true. I did get in a fight with my sister right before the podcast. Not a real one. Just we were arguing about life.
You slapped her up a little bit?
No. Told her. I stayed on the other side of the room. I don't need to slap up my sister. I only got one left, you know, so not.
So when you say fight, what kind of
like disagreement about? So she's a supervisor and I'm an employee, right? Which I guess probably bothers me at my soul.
And she's younger than you.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
So she's more successful than you.
Yeah. Yep. And took like 4 or 5 years out of the, out of work. Maybe not that long, but she took some time off of work, right? For your kids.
Yeah.
As well. And then still was more successful. But like she thought it was a good idea for people to have a solution before they go to the boss with a problem. And I think that that's ridiculous.
I don't. I kind of agree with her.
So let me get it. So maybe this should be done after our overzone, but I'm going to get into my.
No. I like this. This is genuine right off the bat. We're getting into something. I want to fight with you a little bit too. I want to agree with your sister.
So this is my reasoning for that. I can't actually change anything. So for me to create the solution and bring it to you, for you to tell me no, would make me as discouraged of an employee as I could be.
Okay. And my simple combatant to it, I do like that point. Like, I agree with you is like, you do all the work and you're like, okay, I got to change to this problem.
Yep.
But I think that's so much better than coming to somebody and being like, this sucks. And then them being like, okay, how can we fix that? And you're like, I don't know. It just sucks. Like, so I don't think that you should complain about stuff. I'm going to summarize what I had to say. I don't think you should complain about something unless you have a better way of doing something. Like maybe complain about it, but like not to the level like where you bring it to your boss, like, hey, we need to do something different. And then your boss is like, oh, I agree with you. What should we do differently? And you say, I don't know.
So with the red tape in the military, how often can you say this is what we should do differently and they actually like go with it?
So
this might be the difference between my sister and I, by the way, too.
Yeah. So in my line of work, honestly, we can make a lot of change in what we do because we're very independent in what we do. So like when I go on deployments and stuff, it's just me and another guy doing this job that usually had gotten handed down to us from previous people. So if I get my hands on that and I see that there's things that we could do better or cut out and make easier, it's very easy for me to talk to the guy that I'm with on that deployment and be like, hey, we need to add this and we need to do this because of this. And let me know if you agree or disagree. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not just like, we're doing it this way. Like I would run it by him and you'd just be like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's change.
So like lateral run by someone, like at a lateral level.
Yeah.
Like the guy who replaces you. So I think that's way different than like, so if I have an issue at work and it's something I can handle, I don't talk to my boss. I don't deal with it at all. Like I'd never bring it to my boss. Like that problem never comes to my boss. If I can solve the problem at my level, it never goes there. Like, and now part of that is because I believe that the only thing my boss can do for me, and I've probably mentioned this on the podcast, if I haven't, I've mentioned it to you or numerous other people, is get me in trouble. Right? Like my boss in the state of Wisconsin cannot give me a raise for like things that I do well, right? She has to send that through 7 different levels. She can like try to get me a raise, but like it doesn't ever happen. She can't like give me like this kudos where I get a bonus of some sort. That's not something that if it does exist, I've never heard of it. Maybe that's because I'm a shitty employee. I don't know. But like, there's nothing that can happen except for disciplinary action coming from my boss. Right. And so like, if there's problems that I can fix, they don't go there. And so it's like, and if there's problems that I can't fix, they have nothing to do with me unless she asks me what I think of them. And then like, if I give my input into something, right? Like I have this solution for how we can do this. And they're like, well, actually, because of this rule, and this rule that you don't have any like way of knowing about, we can't do this. Then I'm like, why would I even put this out there just for you to tell me like there's these hidden rules that we can't fucking do?
Oh man, the hidden
rules. When they have more knowledge than I, which I would assume a supervisor does, especially around policy, right? Then yeah. I'm like, then don't like ask me my fucking opinion on shit. Like, don't tell me to bring the solution if I don't have all the information to make the decision.
Yeah, no. And we've dealt with bureaucratic bullshit like since
my whole career. Time. That's my whole career.
Yeah, no, I do kind of want you to break it into like more of like a concrete, like give me an example of something. It doesn't even have to be like real life, but let's say you want to give we'll go to Leavenworth just so it doesn't talk about your current job.
Okay.
You want to give the inmates 30 extra minutes to, I don't know, play checkers.
So let's say, okay. So
you do it.
No, I have one. So like, and I actually went to my boss about this and it was just like, denied because it would be giving an advantage to the inmates that I had on my detail. They wanted to lift during their work time, but then they would not be allowed to lift or recreate during their recreation time, right? Unless it was like league stuff, and then they would not be on work status. The vast majority of my guys worked 7 hours or 7 days a week, just came in every day. They didn't have an issue with that. Like, they wanted to be in the gym in that area. So they'd come to work in the daytime and then they'd come back to work at night. Like, so they'd work 7 days a week. They did not get paid. Like, mine was a non-paid position inside the prison. And so I was like, yeah, I don't have an issue with you guys lifting weights. So I like try to clear this with my boss and it gets shut down because then I'm favoring these inmates, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, there's some sort of favoritism. So I say you can't lift weights during work time anymore. You just have to go in there during your rec times. When, like, in reality, I could have solved that problem all by myself, right? And just said, yeah, go ahead, work out. Like, it's not an issue. You won't work out later. Everybody gets just about the same amount of time throughout like a week anyway. And these guys would just get like an extra probably 45 minutes of workout time during the week. And I could have solved that problem, right? Keeps my employee, like the inmates, but my employees happy. Yeah. And like, I get all the work when other inmates are in the gym.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, I sent that up. It got shut down because like, there's all this like bureaucratic shit when in reality, like nobody would have even known if I had done it.
Yeah. So you were just trying to cross your T's and dot your I's and then just turn it into like, why the fuck did I do that?
Well, and anything that I feel like I don't know the policy, and that was most of the stuff down in Leavenworth because I was brand new into the prison system, right? I just checked on. And every time I checked on something, it was always a no. Like, no, like they'd be like, well, we've done this forever. And I was like, the answer is no, like can't do it now. Like, and so I got a lot of stuff taken away from the guys in Leavenworth, actually.
Yeah. That sucks. Yeah, I had a funny one. It kind of reminds me of this. So like, and this just happened the other day. So I'm working like basically 3 days on, 3 days off, but like my 3 days on are long days. And basically I'm on call that whole day. Like if something is to happen. And I got called because I got like a, for lack of a better term, hotel room. I guess it's more of a dorm. It's not really a barracks. So it's like a room to myself. And there's like a tiny mini fridge in there where, I mean, it's a mini fridge. I'm not going to over explain a mini fridge, but it's a small fridge in my room. And I got hit up by my supervisor and he was like, hey man, there's a new class coming. And we share this dorm with us, with a school that goes to there. And he said, there's a new class coming to the schoolhouse and they don't have enough working mini fridges right now. Is it all right if we take the one out of your room? And my response back was, have they considered buying a new mini fridge? And I attached like a Walmart $120 mini fridge. And they're like, yeah, they got mini fridges ordered, but they got cleared to get new mini fridges, but there's some like something going on. And like, I don't even think he cared to explain to me like
mini fridges for the military are probably $500 instead of 120 because it's the military. They have some stupid contract that they can't buy from just Walmart. They got to buy them from pumpuptheprices.com or whatever it is.
Yeah. But like my thought process behind that. So basically the dorms are owned by the schoolhouse. And if I was like a high up guy there in the schoolhouse, probably like a senior master sergeant at the very minimum, you're making pretty decent money. Where I like in my head, I'm like, I'm just going to buy a mini fridge for this room until the new mini fridges come. And then,
you'll bring the mini fridge home and be done with it.
Yeah. And then I just have like a mini fridge for like my garage or wherever I need it.
And a very Wisconsin thing to do.
Yeah. And honestly, like I talked my wife into getting a mini fridge like real fast. Cause I was like, yeah, we can put it like, it would be like right here. So like when we're recording, I just have to open the fridge, grab a beer and I'd be good to go.
Do you like when you go get beers, does it like wake her up or are you like,
oh no,
walk past the room or like nothing?
Okay. No, the fridge is pretty far away from the room. So that's not a big deal at all. Like, but anyways, we're like, oh, we could use it in the future for certain things and stuff like that. And I mean, the problem all got solved, but it was just like way stupider than the problem needed to be. Like where if you're just like a normal person, like if it's your own business, you're like,
yeah, you just make the decision done, right?
Yeah. So I kind of get where you're coming from. So we strayed from that a little bit, but so the
Gina's the bureaucrat though. So my younger sister is like the supervisor that I get frustrated with.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I definitely do not like going anywhere with problems that I don't have a solution to. And I've got to do it a couple times, like in the position that I'm in, where I probably, especially guard-wise, have like a fair amount of more experience than a lot of people in the guard, especially like at where I'm at in my career, where I've seen things done a lot differently and like been to a bunch of different places. And did the job different ways. And right now, like the work that I'm doing, I can see I could make it like way easier for everybody and still be like completely illegal and stuff. But I was trying to explain this to some of my other people who have done what I'm doing right now longer than I've been doing it. And they like just don't care to learn a new way. So they're like, they're like, this is good the way it is. It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, which I usually subscribe to. But I had this all like laid out and basically had like an infomercial ready to go, like where my product was going to be better than the product that we're doing. And people just shot it down because
it's different. Yeah, it's different.
And they're used to the whole process, which they'd been doing for over a year and a half now. So I was like, that's fair. Like, I mean, because we're going to have to, it would be a learning curve for like, so we make the product and then people look at the product. So it wouldn't just be, I failed in the first step. So first I needed to get my people on board with doing it a new way. And then we would have needed to get the customers on board with,
yeah,
like reading it a new way. And honestly, yeah, it just started being like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. So like, I think it's way better. I mean, I personally know it's way better, and which is probably a bad way to look at it. Cause like maybe it's not, even though I know
maybe for those people, their brain doesn't like function in that way.
Yeah, no, and it's true. It's Yeah. It's different. And that's what my supervisor told me. He's pretty good about that stuff. He's like, I like what you're selling, but he was like, just don't be offended if people shut it down. And I was like, trust me, like, it's not going to hurt my feelings. It's just like they're putting themselves,
wasting your fucking time.
Yeah. And I mean that, and that's what it came down to, but
yeah,
but whatever. That was a good start to the show. Got that juices firing up a little bit. Give me your unders and your overs.
All right, real quick. So I'm going to take a new position at work. I'm probably going to tell my boss tomorrow that I'm taking it. Going to move over to like a unit that is full. So all the like 80 to 100 guys that are like that fall under me. And currently I have set 8. I think there were 8 on the unit when I left today. And so like there's 8 guys that I cover for a unit right now. And I'll move to units where I've covered like 100, which will make like rec 1,000 times easier to get 5 people to do something. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Where on skilled care, like they do not care if I have a 1-person group, but I care if I have a 1-person group, because the 1 person who does the group rubs me the wrong way. Like doesn't actually rub on me, but like, I don't like that person.
Right? He
like,
could. Yeah. Yeah.
He could rub me the wrong way. But I just like that person bothers me like on a personal level. Right.
Like, I don't even know if you'd be able to answer this question, because what he's done in the past, or is
just no, the way like, and, like, so his actual crime against adults, which makes it better in my mind to some extent, which I don't know why it should, but it does. And then, like on top of that, like,
yeah, no worries. You don't have to give out.
No, like, it's feel like I can, like, I mean, it's all on. It's all
on
the internet.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm not giving out anybody's names or anything. Like he took somebody captive or whatever. Right. And so
no big deal.
Like threatened to do some shit. Right. And like, yeah. I'm not saying it's good, but like every guy in there has one. Okay. So like to be in my facility like, I guess there could be some exceptions to this. I don't know if that's accurate. Right. Like I don't look up everybody's crimes. And when they tell me they've only done one thing and there's no reason they should be there, I don't look it up. I just assume that they're lying to me. Right.
Okay.
But you have to commit 2 individual crimes. Right. So that could be like assaulting 2 different people. Right.
Yeah.
That could be assaulting 1 person, going to jail, getting back into the community, assaulting another person. Right. Or assaulting the same person again and getting another crime. But you have to have multiple victims, and then you have to have a doctor that decides that you are more likely than not to reoffend. So the actual opportunity for you to have 0 offenses is like none in my book. Like that's my personal opinion. And even if you have 0 offenses, you have been a guy who the community believed you would sexually assault someone, right? Like, that's like they like whether you did or not, they believed and a jury believed that you like it was possible that this would happen. That's like relatively shitty person.
Okay.
Right. For like your local community to be like, this guy did this shit and like we need to put him in prison. and then do it again, and it happened again, right? Like, pretty rare. And then a doctor says, oh yeah, like, we've talked to you over the last like 2 weeks, your notes on the units and stuff like that, you appear to be a guy who is absolutely crazy and doesn't understand that it's not okay to rape people.
Yeah.
Right. So there's multiple steps to get here. It's not like you just like, well, whoops, like, we accidentally put this guy in Sandridge for 40 years. Like,
yeah, I didn't realize your facility was like that.
So it's
in, yeah, I mean,
and I believe the commitment process from prison to the commitment process is like 7 steps long. Right. So like, you have to get flagged for it. Right. You have to get flagged. Oh. Like, this guy doesn't seem right. And then like, a doctor meets with you, and a social worker meets with you, and another doctor meets with you, and another doctor, like, and I could be a little bit wrong, but I've seen this, like, the step process 1 or 2 times, and it is insane. So they're all fucking pretty bad dudes.
What would you say though? So if you had life in prison, would you try to get into a facility like this?
Or? So you don't get into this facility without 2 convictions, and then you've completed your time, and they're going to put you on parole.
Oh, so it's like just an,
which is probably the
slap in the face, like,
which, like, is probably the real hangup of the facility. Like, I think that in a real way, if you're going to put a guy into this facility, if you're going to say, like, you're more likely than not to reoffend in the next 20 years, whatever it is, we're going to put you straight into Sandridge, and we're going to start like intense sexual offense treatment right off the jump. I think that's probably the way you should do it instead of putting them in prison. It'd be the akin, like the same type of thing as like not guilty by insanity.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Or men. Right. And so like, I think maybe you shouldn't do your prison time and you should just get a civil commitment.
And that, but a civil commitment would be going to
sleep. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So we commit them because they're not safe to be in the community because they'll harm someone else.
Oh man. You probably get some pissed off dudes then that like,
yeah. So, most of them are relatively docile by the time they come to Sandridge due to the fact that, they've been in prison for probably about 15 to 20 years already.
That's insane, man.
Yeah. I mean, we have a couple of guys that are young, right? We have a couple of guys that are like in their 30s, late 20s, but most of them are 40. Even the brand new guys coming in are like 40. Anyway, this guy just like bothers me. The one guy that will do all my activities, he bothers me. And I don't.
No, Randy, don't show up to hopscotch, man. I didn't.
Yeah, right. Well, he can't. So this guy can't do hopscotch. But like, that's part of the problem. That's part of his problem is that like, he shows up to everything, but like pretends that he can't function in a real way. And he does have some physical limitations that do keep him from like doing a lot of stuff, right? Like, there's real physical limitations, but then he pretends those physical limitations are way more severe than they are.
Gotcha.
Okay. Like, he pretends he can't open a bottle of soda, and I've watched him open a bottle of soda probably 2 times a day, every day for the last 4 years.
What's his soda choice?
I don't know, Diet Dew or Diet Pepsi or fucking shitty fucking soda. It's not something.
Do they only do diet sodas in there?
No, they can order whatever they want. They gotta just buy it from a different shop. Like, we do not give away, the only drink we give away is milk, I think, with meal trays.
I don't think we've tapped into how interesting prison life would be on this show. Because I'm very interested in prison life, and I mean, we talk offline a little bit. I would say like probably 80% of our conversations are on this.
But yeah,
maybe we'll tap into that and just try. I mean, as clean as we can, like, not get you in trouble, but just
yeah. And I don't think I have like really good stories because I just like try not to hear the good stories. You know, there's a
thing. I mean, that's how I am too. But even just like processes, I think we should do a Leavenworth episode, like where you just kind of go in a day-to-day life about Leavenworth, like wake up at whatever time. Yeah, just take us through a day at Leavenworth and from a prisoner's perspective, from your perspective. So I mean, it would be secondhand.
Yeah, so like for like my details perspective or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, but you're taking a new job. Proud of you,
Mike. Yeah, so I'm just a new spot. Like my job is that we're going to remain the same, but I'm going to probably move to the other end of the facility. And I'm just like my on unit activities for like, I'll get like 20 guys to a unit versus 8. And my units will always be full because they're in the high demand units. But I feel like I'm, so the under piece of this is that I feel like I'm being shitty to the unit that I currently work for. Like that's just a me feeling, right? So
yeah, but I mean, I think you and I are in the same boat. Is like we don't look out for ourselves enough, and I think that's good for you. I think that's an over. It's an over for me that you're looking out for yourself and not.
So the taking the new spot was in my overs, but I knew that the way I feel about taking the new spot is an under for me, right? Like, yeah. Not that like
you're basically like Craig Council right now.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit. Just moving.
You're going to the Cubs.
Yeah. Moving to a better spot. And really, I think there's people that had worked there for a long time that tried to get to that, to the other side of the facility and never have. And we lost 3 senior therapists today.
Damn.
Yeah. So, at our facility, I mean,
at our facility,
no, they offered a demotion with a $20,000 pay increase.
Oh, okay.
So if I would have decided to become security or a PCT is what they call them, I would make $10 more an hour. I would have opportunities at overtime. My schedule would be worse, but like might even be doing less of a job, right? So depending on where I get posted, I might be just like signing people out. Oh, you're going to the library. All right. See you later. Like,
okay.
It could have been a very simplistic job, right? Like this is the entry level in the facility to the most, for the most part.
Gotcha.
And they offered $20,000 more than what I make right now to do that. And so all the senior therapists in my department said, well, I can get overtime. I have like 5 years left before I retire. If I get 3 years where I'm making $150,000 a year, like I can get out and retire and like be making bank in my retirement. So it makes perfect sense, but like our facility did not have good forethought when it come to that.
Anyway. Gotcha.
Moving on.
They robbed Peter to pay Paul.
Well, and so now we're going to have to hire 4 rec therapists. They're going to hire those 4 rec therapists at like probably like $40 an hour, which is a good chunk more than what I make. And then they're going to have to like increase my pay through like Adira. And so it's not going to solve any problems.
Gotcha.
And that might take 3 or 4 years. Like that. It's going to take time because this is the fucking government and nothing goes fucking quick, but like, that's what's going to happen in time. I'll make more than they do again because their shit's going to stall out. But, as of right now, like I can, if I chose, I could go make $150,000 a year, right? Like, I think they probably make about 90 right now. And if you choose to do a shitload of overtime, you could really crush that.
Crank it up. Yeah, that's a pretty damn good job. I'd take it.
Yeah. Well, come back. Fucking sign up for the next academy. You can get me $1,500 if you do that. So I should ask Steve to like have me as his referral and I split the bonus with him.
Fucking Steve.
Yeah, man, I missed an opportunity. I'm going to let him know that he needs to say, oh, Mike told me about this job. And so you have to give him the referral bonus, but
there you go.
Anyway, my kid graduated 4K, big day, right?
Celebrate good times. All right. Come on.
As we move on to whatever, we'll always be friends forever. That is High C, Orange C? Orange Slice? Yes.
Orange Slice, baby. Orange Ice Slice. Ice baby. I think it was maybe Vanilla Ice, actually.
It was not Vanilla Ice. And then I put some pavers down for my front, like, walkway thing. And I did all right on that. They're pretty good. Those are my overs. Kid graduated 4K.
Man, I feel like you use some Wisconsin terminology that even a paver. What's a paver?
Like one of those little square cement blocks.
That's called a paver.
That's what I call them. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's very Wisconsin. Maybe I'm the
crazy. What do you call that thing? Cement block?
Yeah, or like pathway or...
Yeah, a pathway block, sure. Cement block.
Okay. No, I'm proud of you.
Put some of those in. It looks neat. It's going to fall apart probably in like 6 months, but looks good right now. Might have to redo it.
There we go.
All right. How'd your week go? Now that we're like an hour into the episode and we haven't even got through overs and unders.
Yeah, no, I'll get into it real quick. I was happy that we started out like that because, I mean, all we really got is Brewers. We forgot to do that too, the overview of the episode, but I guess we wouldn't even know what the over, but we only got a little bit of Packers, a little bit of Brewers, but I'll start with my unders here. So I've been talking about it for a little bit, trying to get 100 on a PT test before I'm done with my career. And preferably I want to get 100 in the hardest block to get it in. So like as you age, shit gets easier. I wouldn't say it gets easier because as we know, as you age, you break down a little bit. But anyways, I was like, I'm going to definitely do better on my pushups this year and try to get my run pretty damn close. So I was mostly concerned about being able to run a mile and a half in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. But I got into the pushups and I think I realized how people max their pushouts up every time. So I like a pushup to me is kind of like in like more like your thumbs are basically lined up with your nipples and push. So like when I do that, like I don't fully lock out. Where I seen the people who were getting it this time, and I don't know how it took me like 10 years of my career to figure this out, but they go real wide and they go like this. So anyways, I don't want to bitch too much, but I'm going to bitch a little.
But you tried this and it didn't work because you haven't been practicing.
No. I did it my way. Cause I seen it before I did. And I was like, okay, they do that. But I was like, I'm still pretty sure I can like get in here and knock out my like,
what's max.
So I would have needed to get, I think 56 in a minute. Okay. Which the time constrained it, like I got to 30 and it was probably like 26 seconds or something like that. So it's not like I wasn't on pace, but the guy counting for me told me I needed to come up higher with my pushups.
Fuck off, man. Jesus.
I just seen him do pushups like out like further. And don't get me wrong. The guy that I was doing it is jacked. Like he's going to be close to maxing it regardless of how he does his pushups. But I was like, I don't know. I'm going to do that next time because sure, I've been told like I don't lock out my pushups as much, but it's kind of like the thing like my arms are more like elongated when they're in like that. Yep. So I go lower than everybody. So I feel like that should be like the matching point is like, you know, since I'm going this low, you should make me like basically do like a clap push up when I came up. So then
and
I
to
started
be fair, going, time under tension is what builds muscle and not
yeah, I definitely think
like so like I, when you lock out you release tension into your chest because then everything is into your elbows and you're locked completely out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And time under tension is what is the exercise. It's not like
I'm glad you're agreeing with me, but it's probably me.
Like, there's definitely a difference.
Getting my feelings hurt by it, but I definitely do think the way I do push-ups is
superior.
Like, yeah, but I guess this is second time this episode that I think that. So maybe I'm just getting a little bit full of myself. But gosh,
it's better than yours.
I do think it's, I'm not saying it's better. I do think it's like more of a workout than the other way, like where it's just kind of like your shoulders, but whatever, didn't even matter. Got to the run. Even right off the bat, I should have known. I weighed in at 200 pounds, which I was trying to weigh less than 190 going.
Yeah. So 200 is fairly heavy for you, correct?
Yeah. But that's kind of what I'm sitting at right now.
Yeah, it's the curse. I'm heavy too. Like, I'm not judging you at all. So.
No. Yeah. I think it's the curse of the tanness, because like I'm tan. So like I see myself and I'm like, okay, like I haven't been eating great, but like I don't look that bad. Like when I look at myself, like I'm like, ah, carrying this weight decently well, but
I'm not.
So right when I weighed in at 200, I was kind of like, fuck, I have not been eating good, because I've been working out like decent, pretty decent.
Maybe you're just getting jacked, like you're getting real muscles, man, for the first time ever.
I have been stronger at the gym lately, so
that's because you're eating.
Yeah, I don't know, who knows, but
you got to eat to put on muscle, man. You can't like maintain and grow at the same time.
But I've been eating like shit though, dude. I've been eating.
That doesn't matter. Did you put some protein on your pizza? Like some pepperonis? Perfect.
This is my main source of protein right now.
No, those are carbs, general. That's okay too. You need to have carbs. Can make you do something. I don't like carbs here. My body, my taste buds love carbs. My body does not like carbs.
Yeah.
Or they do. Yeah. It wants to keep them forever. Never let them go.
No,
I don't mean like that.
Me too. I think we have a fairly similar build when it comes to that. We can both put on weight quick, fast, and in a hurry. But yeah, once I weighed in at 200, I was like, it is going to be tough to haul ass like that. And I.
Clydesdale like vision.
Yeah. I needed a 930. I got a 1010. So.
I'm probably.
I mean, it's still, it's still pretty good. I think like my score on the PT test was a 96% or whatever. So it's still pretty good. But last year I got like a 97 or a 98. So, I mean, it's right in the wheelhouse. So, but second
time,
under
100. You got to do that again in 6 months or in 1 year?
1 year. So, yeah. Next year I'm getting 100 for sure. But then we're going to get to the real under. Tornado hit Tallahassee. I've been hit by two tornadoes in less than a year. I don't think I'd ever.
Wildly unlucky.
Yeah, no, Clarksville. But that being said, though, we've been wildly lucky both times that the path of the tornado was like maybe five. Here it was like 5 miles south of us. And then in Clarksville, I want to say it was 5 miles north of us. So Clarksville, we didn't even lose power. So I don't know. We got super lucky in Clarksville, because I feel like that tornado was even more devastating. But yeah,
did
I think we
had some actual buildings and stuff
in Tallahassee. Oh, yeah.
Either.
Yeah, Clarksville. So I had to drive through Clarksville more often. So maybe that's why I noticed it more. It did seem more devastating in Clarksville, but we're a big Weather Channel house. And yeah, we've had the Weather Channel people at both of those cities, like going through the wreckage. Like,
oh, okay.
It was bad. I think in Tallahassee, they were saying like 100,000 houses lost power. And then like, yeah, there's some stuff leveled. It was down by the university. I still haven't really drove all the way down there yet, but yeah, pretty crazy. So tornadoes. You guys had some crazy weather the other day. I was texting most of the people up in Wisconsin, like, hey, get ready, some shit's happening, because I think it's like on the forefront of my brain right now. It's like anytime there is parameters for severe weather, like where I've been, it actually hits. But I was, what's that, crying wolf a little bit too much up in Wisconsin, but you guys were in the crosshairs. Like the Storm Prediction Center puts out like the scariest area to be, and you guys in West Central Wisconsin were there. You were in it. But
and I think it ended up hitting a little bit south of us for the most part. You said something hit north too, so it kind of split around us. And I think so. I'm like a kind of a who, like a woo woo guy. Like, and I think the Coulee does that for us, like being in the Coulee region, like in the Coulee region. So the like the Driftless area, I think that fucks with storms.
I think so too.
It's really God's country in like a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think there's something to that, like just the landscape out there. And then surprisingly enough, and maybe it's not that surprising, I do think the Mississippi River helps a lot because the Mississippi River is going to be cooler than the storm rolling over it. And you throw cool air. And it's
fairly wide, right?
Yeah, and you throw cool air on that, it's going to calm it down a little bit. So if you see these radar returns, a lot of times you'll see like a big like line going through, like it's going to nail across, and then it'll like lighten up a little bit. Not quite like if it was to hit Lake Michigan or something like that, right, but it'll lighten up a little bit. And then I think it does kind of split where you're talking about, like in the valleys and the coulees and like that, and then like reform a little bit later. But
yeah, I mean, just, like that's just kind of my like bro assessment of storms is that we like, especially La Crosse doesn't get hit as hard as like most places, doesn't feel like. And then even out probably east as far as like almost to the Dells, like doesn't get lit up too bad.
Yeah. And I remember some real bad ones like in the Cataract area. So close to Sparta and stuff like that. But I don't think ever like what I've seen hit Clarksville or even what I just seen hit Tallahassee. So those were pretty bad. But yeah, we'll get off weather here for a minute. So do my overs real quick. So got to hang out with a good buddy I hadn't seen for a long time that I was going to school with. That was a good time today. So I was already about three beers deep when you got a hold of me and we started recording this. And then I don't have much for like channels to watch when I'm at the base that I'm working at right now. But they do get NFL Network. And I've been flipping through and I've been getting super lucky with the games that I'm getting. I swear every other game is a classic Packer game on that channel. So I watched Seattle, We Want the Ball, We're Gonna Score.
Nice.
Matt Hasselbeck game front to back. Remembered more of it than I thought I did. But then a very cool game where I would very much recommend, it's a heartbreaker. It made me cry. And it made me cry again.
Currently it made you cry.
Oh yeah.
Like you watched it again and it made you cry.
The Packers Broncos Super Bowl. Like
I did not watch that fucking bullshit.
Dude, Dorsey Levins was so fucking good. Like it was, I did not remember that. Like I didn't recall.
Dorse the horse, man. I think I remember the first year they went to the Super Bowl when they beat the Panthers the first year to go, right? NFC championship game.
They beat the Panthers in the NFC championship to go on.
Obviously. Yeah. And I just remember him running through like some monstrous holes and it was like so good.
Yeah. So yeah, for some reason I thought that was an Edgar Bennett game maybe, but I was watching it at my aunt's house, who's like the biggest Edgar Bennett fan in the whole entire world. So
oh yeah, sure. Gotta love some Edgar Bennett.
But yeah, watching that Super Bowl, and don't get me wrong, I didn't get to catch much of it. I think when I tuned in, when we were flipping through the channels, it was 24-24 and it was at the end of the game. But I do think I want to go back and watch that full game, because my memory, granted, I'm a young kid watching that. I was probably seven. I think I was seven. Yeah. Cause it would have been,
I was a 98 sixth grader, I believe.
Yeah. So, and it would have been 97, 98. So yeah, I would still be seven.
Yeah. I would say I would probably be like 11 ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
maybe 12.
For some reason in my head, I had it that Denver dominated us a little bit more. Like, I don't know if I felt like the score, like I couldn't have told you the score, because I was watching it at the office, and I think my supervisor was like, "You freaking remember this game?" And I was like, I could name a gross amount of people on this field right now. I think I could name more Packers on those teams than I could on the current team.
I think that would be comparable for me too, but I'm not a like anymore. Like, I think I used to be the kid that wanted to know every player, and I don't care as an adult to know every player.
I was talking to my cousin about this recently, and I think we've had this conversation. Video games helped a ton for knowing. And I don't play video games anymore. So, back then, very, very rarely. I think I've played MLB The Show within the last year, maybe like once or twice. Maybe not even. It's probably been over a year since I played it. So
like a traditional system, like Nintendo system, I guess my kids have a Switch. I don't feel like that counts, because I'm playing it for them. And I have not played a sports game like a Madden, 2K, NCAA game in at least 4 years.
Yep. And that's what my older cousin said too. He was like, "Well, I've played like Mario Kart recently," or
yeah, I've
like
played a lot of Mario Kart. Yeah.
Something like that.
Mario Party. But that's a big one in our house. Mario Party.
That game is awesome. That game was great for the GameCube.
I think the original was like probably better than what they have now, honestly.
Yeah. That was a good time. I was sucked at it and I still loved it. But anyways, getting back to this Packers Broncos game, very watchable again. And the Packers had a shot at the end. So it was insane to me. So the Broncos, let's just say 2 minutes left in the game. So it was a 2 minute warning. They got a first down and then it was first and goal to go. And they were like trying to score so hard with the game tied at 24. Like, they were trying to score like every play and put a touchdown on the board, when like I think today's NFL would have been eat up all the clock. Like, I think they had the capability to eat up all the clock, maybe at the very worst leave 15 seconds on the clock, kick a field goal, and then give it back to the Packers with 15 seconds to go. Granted, we had like pretty dynamic kick returners, but honestly, Antonio Freeman's who took the kick return out, which I think
Desmond was on the team after.
Yeah, I don't think he was.
I think he went to Detroit after that.
Yeah. No, he did. I mean, he wasn't on the team because it was definitely Antonio Freeman took the ball out of the end zone.
Which I thought was wild to me. He does not seem like a kick return at all to me.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I do think that the NFL was much different. I think they didn't believe you could score in less than 2 minutes. I think that like it was super unique for guys to score in the last 2 minutes, where in today's NFL, it's like easier to score in the last 2 minutes the perception of it, right? Like, it gets down to the last 4 minutes of game and everybody's like, "All right, let's run the actual plays that work now." And then they do. That they don't run for the whole, I'd be interested to know the amount of scoring in the last 5 minutes of an NFL game.
You're right, because it's off the chain. Like,
I would imagine that it's all like half the points of the whole season.
Yeah, because I think that's aggressive. But like, I do totally agree with you. It's like you'll have like a stalemate of a game, and then it'll get down to the last 5 minutes of the game, and then it's like both team or one team scores, and then one team scores twice and the other one scores once. Like,
it
seems pretty crazy. But Packers were definitely driving. Like, so they had a minute and a half to get it down. I want to say, so
it was the Elway helicopter, like first down or touchdown though, right?
No.
The last one?
When they scored the touchdown? I don't think so. I don't remember the helicopter. I didn't see the helicopter. I think that happened earlier in the game than we think. But there was a play where Terrell Davis was just like running to the house with, it was probably when we would have had like 2.5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, and Tyron Williams pushed him out of bounds. And it was just like imminent that they were going to score. Like, where today's NFL would have been like, just let him go. Yeah. Like, because else they're going to run the clock out and we're going to lose this game. So it was an interesting style of football. It's crazy, some of the hits that were going down.
And you were like, that's illegal.
Last drive of the game, Freeman got knocked out, and then there was three people got knocked out on the same exact play. It was two
Broncos. They all came back in 2 plays later.
They were probably in, like, they didn't even have that rule that they had to like sit out. They were just like, okay, he's up now. Like, let him play. But you could see one of the Broncos guys went out cold. Like, he just hit the ground. Like, he had nothing.
Hand goes up in the air.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, me and my supervisor were watching this and we were like, holy fuck, like, that guy's out.
And that's cold. So you got to remember, that's the 90s. That isn't like the 70s or 80s football. No. Like, they've probably put some rules in by the 90s to like kind of quell some of that stuff.
Yeah, but 90s football, man. And that's tough to beat. That's like,
when you're 90s is probably 90s, early 2000s is probably like the perfect scenario where you're running into like really hard-nosed football and super athletes, because you're getting paid ridiculous amounts of money.
Yep. But one thing I did want to say too is I want to throw a red flag on the people who scream and say QBRs are so much higher now because we check it down so much more in today's day and age. Like, there's so many more like short yardage passes. Dude, I watched a game. It was Joe Montana with the Chiefs versus the Steelers in the playoffs. And honestly, I didn't even realize that the Chiefs, I thought Joe Montana went to the Chiefs and then it was just like he fizzled out. No, he was good for the Chiefs and won a playoff. He was Brett Favre.
Like his would probably be comparable to Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Right. But like, he was not checking. That they went. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good. But he was checking everything down in that game. And I was like, that's like what everybody's knock is. That's like, you know, like, Joe Montana is better than these guys because these guys check shit down all the time. But Joe Montana was like Brady before Brady, checking shit down, like just playing smart football. And surprisingly enough, in that Super Bowl game, on that last drive of the game, it was all check downs to Dorsey Levins. Dorsey Levins like probably caught two or like three or four balls that were like 1 yard passes that he turned into like 15 yard gains to get down the field to get the Packers in position to do it. But, and Favre just ripped a dart to Antonio Freeman that like fucking hit him right in the chest in between three dudes. But I don't even blame him for not catching the ball, because it was like, it was one of those
balls. I blame him. I didn't even know what happened. Now I'm mad.
Yeah. But it was one of those balls that only Favre could fit in. And that's like the the difference with him. Like it was a beauty, but you could definitely tell Antonio Freeman's like, there's no way this ball's like getting through all three of these
and
guys.
And then it did.
It's like, don't.
So I think to a very large extent, Mahomes has that same sort of like finesse or like weird, like outcome to that ball. Like he seems to fit balls into places that doesn't seem like it's likely.
Yeah. No, but Favre was just like fun.
Favre's unique. I'm not taking anything from Favre. I just like Mahomes. I see that with Mahomes. It's like, oh, this is done. Like this play's over. And then it's just.
Yeah. No, and I think Mahomes is probably even better. Like I would even give him that. But I think the thing that's more fun about watching Favre do it, it was like Favre wasn't trained to do it. Like he was like breaking trends to do it. So, like he was like going against like what is taught, where I think Mahomes is better because like they're
teaching him to practice do that, and he's like skilled at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that like Favre builds what today's quarterbacks are to some extent, along with Marino and like Peyton Manning. Right. So like Marino might have been the first step for Peyton Manning to become who he is. Right. I don't even know that like Manning broke a mold. Right.
No,
Favre Manning broke a mold.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Manning, Marino and Manning are like very, very similar style quarterbacks.
I haven't seen enough of Marino to like judge what Marino was, and I definitely hadn't seen enough of Joe Montana to like, I think that's the only game I've ever watched Joe Montana play was the game I caught on NFL Network. But
I'm sure he was great.
I'm sure
he was.
He looked really good as an old man on the Chiefs. Like
old man, he was probably like 33.
Yeah, that's true. But my favorite part of the whole game, though, was, like, don't get me wrong, I remember the kickers with the one bar helmet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
I did not remember that they could pull the bar down and, like, pull it back up. Like,
I didn't know that.
The kicker had it, like, down below his chin, and then he was, like, getting ready to kick, and he, like, puts it up like it's going to fucking do something like, before he kicks the ball. He's just, like, one bar across his face.
See, I think I just remember it being, like, more of, like, a chin bar. Like, it protected their chin and not their face for the most part. I don't know why.
Yeah. See, I remember it kind of going, like more across their nose than, but, like.
Was there anybody in the league, like, in the early 90s that didn't have to have a face mask? Or was the one bar still for everybody? For all the kickers. I mean, everybody else had like full face masks. They weren't stupid enough to do that.
Yeah. No, I think the one bar was probably as low as you could go.
Okay.
And it was only the kickers. I don't know though for a fact. Do you need a break here? We've been rolling and you look.
I do not. But if you do, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, no. We're good. We'll keep rolling. But. Yeah, we are probably long right now, but Mike's little tip. Let's get to Mike's little tip.
So the easiest way to look fit is hang out with people who are not fit. And that's my life right at the moment. I'm not fit, but I'm not the least fit unfit person that I work around. So like everything still seems okay.
Hopefully your coworkers don't listen to this. You're just calling them all fat.
No, and like honestly, I'm not like the most like I'm not the most fit, unfit person either. Like there's a people in the place I currently work that are more fit than me, but like I don't look like bad yet.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good tip. But
it's also really bad for me because then I see other people and I'm like, I'm okay yet. Where when I worked at the gym, I didn't see people that I was like, oh, I'm still fine. Like everybody like was relatively fit and it was not good for me.
Yeah. And the guy I'm working with right now is Jack. So that like, I went swimming with him the other day, like not laps, but we got like a lake. And I think it is. So your tip is great. because there's no effort that you need to put into it besides like get fat friends.
Yeah. But, yeah. And those guys are usually nice too.
Yeah. And funny. Like you got it. They're probably funnier.
Probably.
But yeah, the guy I work with, I'm like, goddamn, like I got a long ways to go. So then I have to work harder though. Like where your tip though, I wouldn't even have to work if I just
hung out. Tell him you guys can't be friends. He's too good. He's too like fit.
Yeah. I'm done hanging out with him. Yeah.
I'm done hanging out with you.
Yeah.
You've accomplished too much in the gym.
You need to drink more Dr. Peppers and eat some donuts, man. I'm sick of this bullshit.
Maybe you should start like just bringing in like Reese's peanut butter cups every day to the office. But then you have, Reese's peanut butter cups. You're not a peanut butter person, right?
Oh, but peanut butter cups, I'll fucking crush, dude.
Find something that you don't like and just bring that in for like snacks every day. And you just never touch him and let him just ruin himself.
There we go. I'll bring in like Danishes. He seems like a guy that'll like a Danish. Man, someone told me about how Danishes are underrated the other day, and I was like, nope, they are.
We're talking about like the thing that's got like barely any frosting and then it has like the little like lemon or thing in the middle.
Yeah, the nasty shit. Yeah. But
nothing. I don't agree with the nasty shit, but like I do think that they could have some more frosting or something on it. Like,
yeah. Screw those.
They're not peak level desserts. I do have one more like in your line and observation. So we always say 11:02 for time, right?
Yeah, 12:02, 11:02.
12:02, 9:07, right? Whatever it is. But we never say, O is not a number.
Yeah,
but we will never say it is 11:02.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't understand why. I don't. Does military time? No, they don't, right? Like military time would be 12:02.
So I give briefs a lot, and I have to, like, one thing I'll have to do is give a brief time and a void time. Like, this brief is good from this time to this time. In rare occasions, usually it's like when I'm breaking my brain because it voids an hour and a half after I give the brief. So sometimes it's like a weird time frame, like where, say if I give the brief at 6:57. So I have to do like an hour and a half.
So the zero from starts that. It, right?
Yeah. So I will say 06:57, but then it will void. That wasn't a good example, but say if it voids at like 15:07. Yeah, I think I would say 15:07. The only way I wouldn't do it is if I said voids at 1:07. Like if I'm kind of doing more of like
if radio you're doing speed, each number but, individually. Yeah. But I have definitely heard military guys go 0902 instead of 0900.
Oh, yeah, 0900. Yeah, O Dark 30 is a thing. We got PT at O Dark 30, like, which usually means like you have PT at 4 a.m. or some shit like that.
Yeah. But anyway, I just find it weird that because I'm pretty sure that at least at some point in my life, I've been corrected that O is not a number. Right. If I get like my parents, or like my address 504, right? 504. I never say 504. Never. Doesn't happen.
I could see it more in that context though. 504.
Yeah. In that context, I see it more. Like I could hear it from somebody else more, but when I'm explaining it, like I would never say it where like in reality, I could see somebody be like, oh, that's not an O, that's a zero. Like if they wanted to get real technical. And we never use zero in those terms. And I find it weird to me.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just like a cooler thing. It definitely rolls off the tongue better.
But it only rolls off. Look, I've decided that things only roll off the tongue better because we say them.
No, that's not true.
It is.
I remember. So thank you, and I appreciate it. I never hear people say I appreciate it until I worked at the gym. So like my whole life, it was just like, thank you, you're welcome type deal.
Yep.
And I remember hearing a guy say, oh, I appreciate it, man. And I was like, that sounds way better than thank you. I don't know. That's not like the greatest example, but there's just little things like that I've heard people say that I was like, yeah, thank you is kind of, I don't know, it's a good thing to say, but like, appreciate it.
Yeah. So this is my example of why things roll on better. What I believe is a perfect example of like why this exists. That it's because of what we know and understand and what we like, how we put things in our mind. So if I'm talking about my sisters, so it's Katie and Kelly or Gina and Travis, right? Those are the two families.
Oh yeah.
Right. I almost guarantee Kelly's brother says Kelly and Katie. And I almost guarantee Travis's family says Travis and Gina.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
And so like, I think it's just an accustomed thing, right? Where Gina has always been the person that's in my life. And then Travis got added. So I just add Travis to the end. Where Travis has always been the person in their life. So they have always had Travis and they just add Gina to the end. And so it's just easy and accustomed.
Mike and Kelly, Kelly and Mike, Pat and Gabby.
Right. But my family's going to say Mike and Kelly. And Kelly's family says Kelly and Mike.
So a better example, though, that twins. So my buddies, Kevin and Kyle. It's always Kevin and Kyle. It's never
nobody's ever saying Kyle and Kevin. I'm gonna try to start.
But like it is weird though. Like it's always let's go to Kevin and Kyle's. And I couldn't even tell you. I think Kyle might actually be the older one. So if you were doing them like chronologically, you would think it would be Kyle and Kevin. But Kevin and Kyle sounds way.
Do you have any idea who you like were introduced to first?
I think I was better friends with, and I mean, it definitely was like pretty lockstep where it was.
Yeah. Like they're both really good friends of yours, right? Like,
yeah.
And trying to like to put some division in there or nothing.
No. I wouldn't even give a shit if you were, but, but I think Kyle was the one that I started talking to first.
Okay.
But I was kind of like, it was like a weird, cause we all like my group of friends, like all formed like at a pretty similar time. Like some of them were friends beforehand. Yeah. I was kind of late to the party. Like me and another guy were like, we got invited to hang out with these guys. And then we just never stopped hanging out.
Yeah. You were just the tag along kid. I got you.
Yeah. For a while. And then, but like, in baseball, I remember, I think I talked to Kyle more than I talked to Kevin before I was really good friends with both of them.
Okay. So that does seem like odd, but I suppose if somebody like who kind of started the conversations with you guys was better friends with Kevin, let's go to Kevin and Kyle. Let's go to Kevin and Kyle's. You hear that all the time. Then that's what rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. And Kevin was cooler. And then, now they kind of like flip flop who's cooler. I think Kyle's ahead in the cool department
at the current moment. All right. Fair enough. All right. You guys heard it. Like Kevin, you better step your game up.
Yeah. All right. So
those are my tips or whatever. And now your tips.
Yeah. It was a good observation that you had in there. I'll do them both.
Yep. So we're gonna go long. It's just the way it goes tonight.
Yeah. So rebates. So I just bought a bunch of contacts today, and they're making me send a rebate for $100 back. And I just find that to be like the weirdest concept.
I assume that is a like a leads generator.
I don't know what
then they sell your name. So you're sending something to them with your address on it, with your name. That is a lead for some business, I think. That's my assumption. So once you sent that, I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, yeah, those are kind of weird. That's what I think that is.
It kind of makes sense. So, because I bought contacts and it ended up costing me like $118 with $100 rebate. So it ended up costing me like $18 for a year supply of contacts, which I was like, damn, that's a steal. But my dumb ass probably will forget to do the rebate when it comes. And I was like,
what do you get for a rebate? Do you get it to them or like, what's the deal? So if you do a rebate to Menards, they give you 11% off on everything, right? But then you have to spend that 11% in the store because it's all rebate.
Yeah, I wonder if it's some bullshit like that. Because I didn't even ask too many questions. So save 100, total 30 boxes. I'm looking at it right now. I think I just get $100 back.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And some rebates are like that, right? For sure. But
yeah. Even if it was like I could spend it at the store, I would probably go there. They got nice sunglasses. I was looking at their sunglasses today. So probably going there and buy sunglasses with it. But yeah, I just don't know like what would have started rebates and like, but yeah, it's probably what you said, like
something of a mailer coming back, right?
Yeah. One of those things, like if you don't know what the product is, you're probably the product. So you're basically selling your information for $100 in that.
Or me, 11% of like a monster, right?
Which is
33 cents.
Yeah, worth it. Totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
And then my dumb observation for the week is for some reason, the stock market seems to me like it would be the easiest thing to rig. But like when anybody ever tries to fully explain the stock market to me, like I never can fully understand everything that's going on.
Like me either.
I somewhat get like the concept of it is like if people believe in this product that they'll invest in it. And then like if they invest in it, there's little amount of stocks, say. So the more people are investing, the less amount of stocks there are. So with less stocks, you have more demand and less product. So the price of the stock goes up. But it seems to me like it would be very easy if all of us in the United States were just like on the same page and we're like, hey, we're going to pick this thing at 12 o'clock. Let's all buy this. And we all decide in the United States that we're all going to buy this and it's just going to go up and up and up and up and up. And then it seems like everybody would be rich in that scenario, even though.
So in order to get out of that, someone has to sell.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's
right. And so, and someone has to be willing to buy it at the price that you're selling it at.
But here's the trick, Mike. We don't tell them we're going to sell it.
Pat, there's people all over the internet that do just that. Like they're like good at like being like, oh, I like this stock. Like I think it's going to be moving up in the next couple of days. I'm buying into this. And they have enough like social media followers that are like, all right, he's buying in. We're all buying in. And then it goes up. People get caught into this trap. The person that bought in initially, and he probably does buy in, like he gets out with a decent profit, like just doesn't get too greedy with it. And then things start to come down and people get stuck holding a bag of old, more money than that. Now, I do think that it is corruptible.
Yeah.
Right. So if I am, I don't know, give me somebody that's got a shitload of money. Elon Musk.
Jeff Bezos. Yeah.
Jeff Bezos. Like if I'm a person that has an actual like $300 million in cash that I can put into any stock that I want. If I like just was systematically buying, and I forget the exact term for it, but like the whatever their the price is at, right? So you like this person selling, or everybody in the United States is selling 7,000 shares at a dollar, right? And I buy those 7,000 shares at a dollar. Then the price goes up to $1.01, and it's whatever amount of money. And I buy that, and it goes up and it goes up. And I make this go up 17% over the course of 20 minutes in the morning. Like every minute I'm buying the next call up. Like I have all the money, I can do this. It's not a big deal. Like I just buy the next ones, right? I probably have more money than what the actual company's worth. I buy all those. People start getting into a frenzy, like, holy shit, this thing just went up 17% in the last 20 minutes. Somebody thinks this is fucking huge. So then you and I, idiots, I apologize, Pat. Me, an idiot, goes in
there. No,
no. I'm going to buy this. This is like where I'm at with the stock market is like, I'm the idiot, right? So I'm like, oh, it's up 17%. Like I'm going to buy this stock.
Yeah.
It'll probably go up. It's going to keep going up, and it goes up to 19%. And I just, but this guy just sold all his shit, right? This guy that just pumped it to 17, but we bought all his shit 15 cents higher than the stock is actually valued at. And then it just sinks back down into the dollar range. And then I'm fucked with 15, whatever amount of stock at $1.15 instead of $1, which it's actually valued at. That's what happens. So I think if you have enough money, you for sure can just use that as a, like a cash machine.
Yeah. No,
I think it, like, I'm probably wrong.
It is funny though. Cause so I don't know if you've seen like the Roaring Kitty stuff and the GME spike back again.
Oh yeah. I've seen that the DME was coming back. I did see some stuff. I saw Barstool guy was, Stuhl, yeah. Presidente.
Yeah, Portnoy.
Yeah.
Was getting
into somebody that. Was talking to him about it.
But yeah, so the guy who set off the GME shit back in the day hadn't tweeted in like 3 years or something like that. Roughly 3 years. He tweets again, and it's the tweet like with it's like a guy sitting back playing video games. And then he's like leans forward, like, you know, this is getting intense, like it's getting ready to go. Yeah. And he tweets that and GME just pops. Like,
yeah,
everyone starts buying GME.
Yeah, GameStop.
GameStop. And like my dumb ass was like basically did exactly what you just said. But so my wife and I had a Robinhood account where that happened to us early. So she wanted to invest when everything was like super high. And I was even at the time, like where I was like, baby, I'm getting lucky right now. Cause I did get really lucky, like around the COVID time. And I played the market like pretty well, but then she wanted to get in because I was doing so well.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe stuff's going to still keep popping off. But it was like that time frame, like where it was like everything was jumping. And she basically got in at the worst time possible. And then everything like came back to like even. And basically we forgot about that money. Like we were just like, yeah, we're just going to let it sit in there. Like, cause even
like you have the stocks, you haven't lost anything technically yet, but it's probably never going to come back. Right.
Yeah. And so with that, I converted her whole account, like with this shit coming recently. She was like, just try to help me out with this. Cause I don't know shit about it, but she even knows like less than me. So she trusted me with it. And I basically sold all of her shit and bought GME and AMC recently.
Nice. Did it go?
It went. And so let's just use round numbers. So say we had $1,000 invested initially. When this happened, she was down to like $700. So she had lost like $300. And I sold everything she had, put it in there. It went up to $1,700. So going from minus 300 to plus 700.
Oh, very good.
$1,000 swing there. And we were like, if we can make $500 off this, we'll get out. But it hit that 1700 so quick.
And you couldn't get out.
Yeah. I was like, baby, I think we got to stay in here and
ride it out. We're going to be rich.
Yeah.
I gotcha. And so did it go back to even or where?
Oh yeah. We're back at like $700. Like,
Pat, there's things you can do inside there that you can put in a stop loss that if it drops a certain amount of percentage, it'll get you out automatically.
Yeah. And we don't know it like that. Like we were just hoping to, we changed our dream from just getting $500 back to $1,000 back. And that was like where we lost it. But it was not bad. No. And it was like forgotten money. And I straight up told her, I was like, we're gambling right now. Like
we're gambling. Yeah. So that's my problem is that like, I wanted to gamble in the stock market and it did not work for me.
It's rough, but yeah, that's what I got from my observations.
All right. So we're going to jump over to golf just quickly because Scottie Scheffler, the greatest golfer in the world, got arrested. It appeared that the cops were going to be like, all right, we're out on this. We're not going to press any charges. Misunderstanding. We had a overzealous officer and the best golfer in the world kind of get into an entanglement. We're going to let it go. And then the DA comes in and says, hold on. We're going to not just throw this away. I have to make my career on this baby and still may press charges. And Scotty does have felony charges pending. I think not pending. Like they haven't submitted any charges or nothing yet, but if he gets charges, I believe that they're currently in felony states. So, but just kind of an interesting story with Scottie Scheffler, who finished
like 10th or some shit like that.
Pretty well though. Like didn't win.
That was like top 10. Well,
even after getting arrested. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, there is like just more funny shit with that like has came out. Like I just Googled it now. Right now, the Louisville mayor is asking why the body cam footage wasn't on. I think.
Yeah. Also weird. Think,
honestly, Scheffler is getting like exalted of it a little too easily for like his reputation. I do
think
it was like a misunderstanding.
Yep.
But I also do think that like it was. They were beating like a dead, maybe not beating a dead horse would be the right thing, but they were like, oh, he's such a good guy. He's such a nice guy. Like
not matter. Right. Like,
yeah.
Break the law. I mean, like in a lot of cases, not that you can't absolve him from this, but like him being a nice guy, like kind of doesn't matter. And you appear exceptionally entitled when the cop tells you to stop and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, and I don't even know. Like, I am very.
I don't know that that's what happened either, but like.
Because, so when I first read the story, I thought there was a bunch of traffic, and then he got in on the shoulder of the road and then drove past, and then like a cop stopped him while trying to drive past on the shoulder of the road, and then he got arrested for that. And I was like, fuck yeah. Actually, throw him in jail. For a whole fucking year, if that's what he did.
Whoa.
I hate when people do that. Like when all of us other suckers are just following the rules, doing this, and like people are passing you on the shoulder, and then they get to a certain point and they're like, oh, I can't ride on the shoulder anymore. I'm gonna turn my blinker on and I'm gonna cut back
into this trap. No, yeah. Like even
As a society, we got to stop letting people do that. Like, it's just like, no, your shoulder, you got to pull off into that KFC over there or whatever, and then get to a light to get back into traffic. Because those people are the worst. They are awful people. Unless they have an emergency going on. I'll give it that.
How do you know? Like, if you're in the other car, how do you know to let the emergency people in?
Yeah, you don't know. But that's because the shitheads who do it all the time ruin it for the people who are actually having an emergency. But
don't
I'm just
be
saying,
a shithead. I yeah. agree.
I'm just saying though, if you do that, you are a shithead. But I guess you're not if your wife's pregnant and you're trying to get her to the hospital. So you're a shithead until proven not shithead in that situation to me.
So I agree.
If you want to come in, you just tell me, roll down the window. I'll roll down the window. You tell me what's going on. And he's like, I'm late for work. And like everybody else is too. So eat shit. You're not getting in. I roll down the window. My wife's pregnant. I need to get to the hospital. Come right in. But
that's the exception. All right. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. You want to jump to the NBA or you want to get into more Scotty stuff?
No, that was good. NBA, you put Pacers stink.
I hate them. They win. Yeah. They make it through. I hate both the Eastern Conference teams, but so I want one of the teams in the West to win. And I am also glad the Nuggets got whooped up.
Yeah. So Nuggets get knocked out. Pacers are in. I think, yeah, my favorite team left. I hate this because I know they're Vikings fans as well, but I think I kind of want to see the Timberwolves do it.
I'm rooting for the Mavs, I think.
Mavs. Okay. Yeah. I like it, but yeah. Seems like a pretty weak Eastern Conference Finals where Boston can roll pretty easily. I mean, game one goes into OT. Tatum shits the bed in the fourth quarter, but then Brown, whatever, hits a big shot at the end of the game, ties the game up, goes into OT. Tatum takes over. Yeah. So, like, Boston already won a game that they should have lost type deal. So I think they're going to dog walk them the rest of the series. I think that was like the Pacers' chance to land a punch. Yeah.
At home, right?
Yeah. And then right now it's probably past the game time. So Mavs end up winning game one in the Western Conference Final. 108 to 105. I couldn't tell you anything that happened in that game, but so Mavs are up 1-0, Boston's up 1-0. But yeah, I'm on board with you. I do not want to see. I think the last team I want to see win it right now is the Celtics. So I'll be pulling for the Pacers in that one, even though I hate the Pacers right now. And then whoever comes out of the West, those are, but I will say though, with that being said, there's times when there's finals that come up where I would just rather not any of the teams win. I think that's how it went in the Super Bowl this year when it was Chiefs and was it San Fran?
Yep.
So, yeah, like I would have been disappointed with either of those teams winning the Super Bowl. Like, whereas with this, like if the Mavs or Timberwolves win it, it doesn't. Like, it's kind of cool to me, if that makes any sense.
No, I get it.
So,
I don't know if I don't know. I hate them all.
Yeah, but I really don't hate the Mavs or the Timberwolves. And I think I actually
appreciate Luka a little bit. It's probably my most endearing player left.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that would be cool to see him get a ring. And I would equate it to like an NFL team, which we lock way more into the NFL, but it's like, say the Jaguars won the Super Bowl. You kind of be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, that ain't that bad. Like,
yeah, that doesn't affect me at all. It's not like the Patriots or the Chiefs or the Colts or the Broncos or
49ers, Cowboys, teams who
to be fair, the 49ers and the Cowboys, they're not good.
Yeah, but I mean, they got a lot of Super Bowls. I think the Packers are like on the board of championship teams. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure we have the most championships.
Championships, we do. Super Bowls are a different story.
Yeah, but that's where, even if a team's been dog shit for a long time, such as the Cowboys, like, I don't want to see them get more rings. It's kind of like, I guess, the Lakers now, too, in the NBA is like,
yeah,
or Golden State, or just teams Boston. You don't want to see, like, run up the score in that department. But getting the Packers schedule, Mike, we don't know shit about the NBA.
Nope. All right. Where am I at here? All right, Packers schedule. We got Philadelphia in Sao Paulo, Brazil, easy W. Colts at home on week two, easy W. Titans on the road, easy W. Minnesota Vikings with a new quarterback, easy W. That one's at home. First 5 weeks are away, home, away, home, away. Oh, 6 weeks home, right? Got the Cardinals. I think that's a W. I don't think that they have like a good team. Kyler Murray's going to be coming back. I guess they have a potential to make some wins up with that. Houston Texans, really the first game that I feel sketchy. I think I might have skipped the Rams. I skipped at the Rams. That one, I guess, could be bad. Stafford's old. Not too worried about him. Houston, Texas is the first game I'm really getting worried about. They were a plus team last year, but easy W. At Jacksonville, you going to that game?
Yeah. We'll definitely be there.
All right. So Pat will be at the Jacksonville game. So that should be an easy W for the old Green Bay Packers with Pat in attendance. Detroit Lions, tough week. Right before the bye week, though, so I feel like there's good opportunity for W there. You got the first real, like, super trap game of the season in the Chicago Bears. Rivalry game. I don't think that we generally, like, overlook them in any case. I think if this game happens any other week of the year, we beat them easily. But the week before the 49ers, I think that creates like a mental problem there. Easy W on the Bears, and then come in rolling high off of a rivalry win from the Bears. We beat the Niners. Maybe we only scrape that one by. Maybe not an easy one. Just a scrape by win by the Niners. Then we got the Dolphins on Thanksgiving. Appears to be in Green Bay. That one is going to be cold, and the Dolphins are going to win that. Easy peasy. I say the Dolphins. Yeah. The Packers are going to win it easy peasy because of how cold it is.
Yeah, it's late, too. It's the 7:20 spot.
Yeah, so even if it's a nice Thanksgiving, it's going to be cold. Like, it'll be 25 degrees at the warmest at night, would be my assumption. Then we got the following week, we got the Detroit Lions. Detroit played the following Thursday. We both have a week off between our Thursday games. I think we're better team than the Lions. That's a W2. At the Seahawks, I don't think that they're any good. That's a W. Against New Orleans at home in December, New Orleans can't deal at night game. New Orleans can't deal with the cold there. Easy W. Week 17, we got the Vikings in Minnesota. I still think that by that time they'll be starting J.J. McCarthy and we'll get the easy W there. And then the Bears at home, that's a no-doubter W. 17-0. Bye week is week 10.
Yeah. No, I do like it. I agree with you fully that we are going to win every single game. I do think kind of the most interesting part I find of this schedule. So granted, we do open the season prime time, Friday night only game slot, but then we do not. So the schedule I have up doesn't have what week it is. It just has the dates, but we do not have many prime time games like early in the year at all. And then when we hit the Dolphins on Thanksgiving, we go boom, prime boom, time, boom. Prime time, prime time, prime time. not primetime. And then
week if the Bears are any good, we're going to get another primetime game.
Yeah. Yeah. So if like
the Bears are any good,
there's going to be a lot of not much Packers on national broadcasts until the end of the season. Then there is going to be a overload of Packers playing primetime games. But yeah, I agree with you. 17-0 seems pretty realistic for this Packers team.
I don't even see where like we could get a loss.
Yeah. So, but if we are going to cut the shit just a little bit, obviously the Eagles right off the bat, who knows what the Eagles are right away.
Yep. They didn't look good late last year, but I would assume that they will be a better team.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this year.
And then my weird one is I don't think the Bears are going to be there yet. Like I don't think drafting Caleb Williams is like that big of a fix right away, but just the run that we've had against the Bears lately, okay, like,
yeah,
it's just one of those things. It seems too good to be true that it's going to be too good to be true. So like, it scares me that we might drop one of the Bears this year. Lions are good. I'll take a split with the Lions, like a home and home split with the Lions. I do think we're a better team. Like, I think you are right in saying that, but it's the NFL. So it's like,
fair enough.
Yeah. It's not the better team that's going to be winning every single week. I think the Vikings switching their quarterback out, it's going to be,
I think
it's going to be tough sledding for them for a little bit.
Yep. That's kind of the way I am with it.
Jags in October. I don't know where the Jaguars are. I swear you count them out recently. I mean, they've been dog shit for, it's not like their whole thing, but like last year, I feel like the Jaguars were like everybody's sneaky pick. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the Jaguars are going to win the South because the South is shit. And then Houston ends up being a pretty damn good team. Speaking of that, we have Houston on the schedule. So that's,
I think we have the whole AFC South.
Yeah. And we get Houston in Green Bay. So that's helpful.
We play the entire AFC South by week 8.
Damn. Yeah. That's another. So Colts at home.
Colts, Titans. Texans, Jay.
So, yeah, no, it will be a good year. It's definitely a playoff year. So I like it. I like it.
I don't even see one way we don't make the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No.
Can't even see it.
I mean, but for real, too, though, is we had the Niners dead to rights in the playoffs. And
yeah.
And we let them off the hook. Let them off the hook.
We knew who they were.
Yeah.
They are what we thought they were.
And now we are going to get into our 5 minutes of Brewers talk that we tend to do. So over the last 10 games, which I think if we were doing it true to form in our episodes, we would only be going back about 9 games, I want to say.
Yeah, probably.
I think we were in the Cardinals series when that happened, but so we'll just do the last 10 games because it's easy and it gives me the answer. So we're 4-6 in our last 10 games, so not great, but that being said, we're still a game and a half up over the Cubs in the NL Central series. We took the series versus the Cardinals 3-1. We took the series versus the Pirates 2-1. We go to Houston, lose 2 out of 3, and then in Miami, we lose 2 out of 3. And I could be fact-checked because I didn't get to tune in to any of the Miami games because I get blacked out when the Brewers are playing in Florida. But over this last stretch, I don't got too much for you guys. So Gary Sanchez has been hitting the shit out of the ball.
Cheerio's been better.
Yep. So yeah, Chirio is on a tear. He's hitting 400 over the last 7 days. He's got two dingers, four RBIs. And I say that about Sanchez, and he does have 17 at bat, so it's not just a complete fluke. Willie Adames has been on a cold stretch through that, and then injury-wise, it seems like every pitcher we picked up this offseason went down. So Joe Ross just went on the 15-day injured list. But since we're on the injuries, so Williams, Devin Williams, played catch before Saturday's game against the Astros. So that's a good sign. Garrett Mitchell is getting there. So they're putting in projection that he wants to be back in the lineup, or back on the team by June 17th. Reese Hoskins is currently on the 10-day DL list, hamstring shit. So we are doing, or we're dealing with our fair share of injuries going on right now. But I'd be lying to you if I was telling you I'm super locked in. I've been catching about a game a series, and then with this Miami series being blacked out for me living in Florida, did not tune into that. But I know in the Houston series, we were keeping the games tight at the very least. Not that Houston's the Houston of old. It doesn't seem like that.
Nope. They got a losing record currently.
Yeah. I guess we did get spanked in the last game of the season, but lose the first one 5-4 in Miami, lost in extra innings, then 1-1, and then lost 1-0. So bats are going a little bit cold on us. That's all I got for the Brewers stuff. So we'll see. I'm not going to lie and say we will be more locked in next time, but maybe we will be, maybe we won't be. That's how
tune in and find out.
Yeah. Keep going in. So kind of turn a little bit of a corner, on the podcast, especially football off season. I like it. We're going to stray down some side roads, talk some bullshit, like what's on our minds, and try to keep you guys up on the Brewers, see if anything happens, like Bucks off season, and really lock in and get ready for the football season is kind of where we're steering this thing now. So I like it. I like where we're going.
Yep. Appreciate you guys for listening. And if you're doubting the Badgers, the Bucks, the Brewers, or the Packers, you can eat our shorts. Roll it.
All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts. All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts.
Eat them.
All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts. Eat my shorts.